Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
It is more blessed to give than to receive. We began this study and this discussion last Lord's Day as we embarked upon a study of stewardship and giving through the Word of God. What a joy to spend time with you last Lord's Day and by video today that we may study this series together to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our giving and to be the good stewards that God would have us to be. Thank you, West Huntsville, for your constant encouragement through our work at International Gospel Hour. And thank you for the opportunity to be with you today, as well as earlier today, through the way of video. I have to admit, COVID-19 has changed the way that we have done a lot of things. But you're assembling together as one, and viewing this, as we have many times on other occasions through the use of videos for special series. To God be the glory. How thankful that we are. Now, this part of our study is what I like to call the Q&A. This is a part of our study of questions that seem to garner the most interest when it comes to stewardship and when it comes to the grace of giving. And the command of laying by in store on the first day of the week. And let me give you just a little bit of background as I mentioned this in one of our earlier lessons. For a number of years, I'd thought about preaching concerning giving. And thought maybe if we tried a proactive approach to where we would study the subject together, that we would grow in that grace and that knowledge of stewardship and giving. That budgets that churches put forth would be able to be not only met, but exceeded. To open other doors to do great works in the kingdom of our Lord. Along with that, I began to wonder about certain questions that I just could not seem to find an answer. So, trying to be the Bible student that I need to be, I sat down and began to research. To look at passages, what are they taught? And a lot of what I'm going to share with you are things that I learned well over 25 years ago when I preached on the subject of stewardship and giving. Grateful that we can look at this and that we can study from the Word of God to build as the wise man did, to hear these sayings of mine and to do them. Tonight I'm going to be using the assistance of PowerPoint, so you'll be able to view the questions there and the comments. From the very outset, dear friends, the following is what I have observed from a lifetime in the Lord's church. Number one, brethren have no problem giving because the Bible teaches us to give. Nobody has a problem with meeting the command of the avenue of worship to give. Brethren have no problem giving because the Bible does teach us how to give. When we think about this, in Acts 2 and verse 45, the early church, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Later in Acts chapter 4 and verse 35, and again, they voluntarily sold pieces of land and brought their money to lay at the apostles' feet for distribution to every man according as he had need. Brethren have no problem giving because the Bible teaches us to give. Second, from growing up in the Lord's church, it is of interest that brethren will give liberally if they understand why and what it is for. Are you familiar with the term crowdfunding? The idea of a crowdfunding campaign. It's like this. It's the practice to where you will fund a project or a venture by raising small amounts of money from a large number of people. Typically, it's internet giving. Now, this idea of crowdfunding, it's an interesting fact that crowdfunding can get 126% more donations when owners update supporters. Brethren will give liberally if they understand why and what it is for. We know this from our work at International Gospel Hour. When brethren know why, know what our plans are, it's easier to give and to respond. It's true in any work. Here's the third thing. Brethren will respond more and lovingly when graciously challenged. Remember, dear friends, God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Brethren, do not mind responding. Again, if they are aware of the need, what it is for, you challenge lovingly and graciously, brethren will be there. Here's the fourth thing that I've observed. Brethren have a hard time with thousands of dollars in a church bank account with no explanation why. That may surprise some people, but I have known through the years, brethren have a hard time when there are thousands of dollars in a church bank account with no explanation why. It's been said from time to time that, well, I would hate for the Lord to come back with thousands of dollars in the bank when there's a world dying and losing their souls every second. Brethren, it is my plea that our study of this subject will allow us to not only be good givers, but also in turn to be good givers to meet the needs of those that are in need and to address greater works in our Lord's kingdom. Let's consider, if you will, as we think on this subject just a little bit more. Let's do a little bit of research, give you a little further background, some facts and some figures here, of research that you come across on the internet through George Barna's research. And I'm also indebted to my brother and friend Kyle Butt with his work, My God and His Money, and some facts and some history that's rather interesting in giving. For example, in general, the more that a person makes, the less they are to give a tenth of their income. But the less that people make, the better givers they seem to be. Americans who earn less than $10,000 gave 2.3% of their income to religious organizations. This is by a group by the name of Smith, Emerson, and Snell. They also observed in their survey, whereas those who earned $70,000 or more dollars a year gave only 1.2%. In fact, in most absolute terms, the poorest Christians give away more dollars than all but the wealthiest Christians. That's amazing. When Americans earned less money following the Great Depression, they actually gave more. And when income went up, they began to give less of it away. In 2015, an article from ShareFaith said people with a salary of less than $20,000 a year are 8 times more likely to give than someone who makes $75,000. Now, we talk about the less they make, and when you think about that, and time will not permit us, but let's go back to the Old Testament in 1 Kings 17, verses 8 through 16 of that sweet widow, that the more that she kept mixing her meal and her oil, the more God provided. She trusted in the prophet of God, Elijah. Overall, she trusted in God. How about in Mark 12, beginning with verse 44 of that sweet little widow who had the two mites? And yet look at how they gave of their living. And when you put the percentage to it, folks, they were greater givers than those that had a tremendous amount to begin with. Other interesting facts, and I'm speaking in a broad sense of Christianity, or as we would use the term, Christendom, that about 5% of American Christians provide 60% of the money that churches and religious groups to use to operate. I was curious, and I have to admit, surveys, research is not readily available in the Lord's church as in denominationalism. We have no earthly headquarters. All of our congregations are autonomous, so we don't have a central location to where we can filter information for research. So you have to bit and piece together and look at things and read what you can come across. Dear friends, in my studies, Churches of Christ and what surveys that I have been able to grasp of congregations and looking overall have shown an average giving of 2.5% to 4.5% of gross income. Dear friends, I commend us to God and to the word of His grace. That's how we began. This is His world, His word, His will. He instructs us concerning giving, stewardship, money, how to manage, how to use it, how to use our talents, how to make application, how to move us from information to application. And quite simple, dear friends. Stewardship and giving is an area that we need to grow and to mature, like in other areas, as a Christian. For the next few moments, let's do a Q&A. Let's address some of these questions that maybe you have wondered about, questions that began my search many years ago, and let us grow in our knowledge of growing as stewards and as givers of what God has granted. Question number one, what does the phrase, "as God has prospered him," mean in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2? In 1 Corinthians 16, beginning with verse 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Let's notice from 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, the phrase, "as God hath prospered him," that is our question. The word prosper is defined as to help on one's way. As God has helped us along the way or on our way with what we have. It's a word that's used in Romans 1 and verse 10 of a prosperous journey. In 3 John verse 2 of the prosperity of physical and spiritual health. Literally, it means in whatever he may be prospered. As God has prospered him, it's a continuous tense within this word that means it is the circumstances week after week. Thus, the understanding of laying by in store upon the first day of the week. As God has prospered us, as God has blessed us physically and spiritually, and we established that from our lesson last Lord's Day morning. If this is our Father's world, what we have, He provides to us. Dear friends, the phrase in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, in store. Let every one of you lay by in store. McGarvey, in his commentary, said that this conveys the idea of putting into the treasury. So upon the first day of the week, we understand it is a collection for the saints. We understand upon the first day of the week that we lay by in store. We lay by with the purpose, as we have been prospered, that we lay by and put into the treasury, which means, folks, we give thought to what we do. Now consider, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are to remember His death, 1 Corinthians 11. When we sing, we are to sing with the spirit and the understanding, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. When we pray, we are to pray with the spirit and the understanding. When we study together, we are to listen to apply. When it comes to giving, dear friends, we need to take a look at how we've been prospered and to come arriving that we have laid by in store what we are going to return as a portion or to give unto God, which is His. 1 Chronicles 29, 13 and 14. Dear friends, when we think about this, I realize that we are facing pandemic times, and you and I are seeing promise and cases seem to drop and things change, the vaccination and all. But in 2020, when COVID-19 was the pandemic and we had to be concerned, it's interesting that overall church budgets either met or exceeded their plans over 2019. You know, this is amazing. Now, people may ask, well, what's the reasons? Well, one, folks, is because of careful planning. That while we had to make adjustments of how we assembled together, we took advantage of opportunities of online giving, which is meaning laying by in store. When we lay by in store online giving to go to a congregation, it's no more than laying by in store on or in a plate giving that would pass around. Giving has changed through the years. I was sharing recently with the Owenses. I was sharing with them how they're, along with the Owenses and with Troy, who's doing a great job by working and translating for us here. At one time, I had read of a contribution plate, and I'm not trying to make light of things, of a contribution plate that had provided where you could scan your credit card. You see, dear friends, giving and the way giving is done has changed. A lot of people don't carry cash. Some may not write as many checks. And so these opportunities have opened the door for people to simply meet, to lay by in store as God has prospered him, as God has provided for him, which this brings us back, that what goes in the collection for God is from our collection of prosperity, by whom God has provided, and all things belong to him now. The true steward comes out in us as we have been prospered, as we have the funds before us. Question number two. What does it mean for one that purposes in his heart? From 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, the Bible says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Let's look at some key words here. We must note the word purposes, because that's the question. What does it mean to purpose in our heart? Well, we understand within that definition, it's not a matter of being of grudgingly. So we've been working on our approach to giving, the grace of giving, the beauty of giving, that all we have belongs to God, and to change our thinking and our action, that is even reflected in of necessity. Not of necessity, because of compassionate command. The idea of cheerful giver, all sufficiency in all things. Does God grant us all sufficiency in all things? Yes, He does. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. That we may have that abundance for every good work. Let's look closer at this passage. The word purpose is from a Greek word that is used only one time in the New Testament, right here in 2 Corinthians 9, 6. It means to bring forward from one's stores or storehouse, to bring forth for oneself, to prefer, or to purpose. Now what is stored comes from what is reaped, from what was sown. And that takes us over to Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. And so this idea of purpose means that I am going to take how I have been prospered. I'm going to take my overall situation that God has provided. I am going to lay by in store. I'm going to move it from my storehouse unto God's storehouse. This is a preference. This is a purpose. It's nothing, and I'm not going to be reluctant. There's no need to pressure. There's no need to say we've got to make our budget. When we have a heart with a proper purpose based upon the prospering that God has granted, we change our attitude and we say, what can I do? What is the very best that I can give unto God? You know, when we see God loves a cheerful giver, that word cheerful there, a Greek word that is pronounced something along the lines of hilaros, or where we get the English word hilarious. Now folks, don't read that or listen to that in a disrespectful manner. We give in a hilarious manner, but here's why that word is used, because it is the total opposite of grudgingly. That our hearts are set with joy or a hilariousness in light of grudgingly. We're not grudgingly, we're not dreading, but our hearts are set because we have been richly purposed, all sufficiency in all things, abundance of every good work, prospered, and we come forth with a purpose in our heart. It's the summary of this, folks. The purpose is what one has decided to give. We take the prosper. We take what we have. We look at our purpose, how we are commanded to give. And then we put the pencil to it, if you will. You see, folks, when I take a look at give as one purposes, I can't find a purpose when I look at money. I know the purpose of what I should give, but someone says, well, you give as you purpose in your heart. Okay, how much is a purpose? You see, now that brings the next question. What do we know to lay by in store? We're dealing with facts and figures here. So let's take it to our next question that someone asked. What about a tenth or the tithe? You know, when you look through human history, it is of interest that there is a dedication of one-tenth that even heathen nations would give to their so-called gods in order for their needs to be met. I find that rather interesting historical-wise. And tithing, or the tenth, is actually a study that's pre-Mosaic law. When you go back to Genesis, the 14th chapter, and verse 19, the Bible says that Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all, and that was about 400 years or so before the law. We find where Jacob even vowed in Genesis 28, verse 22, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. That's, of course, pre-law, if you will, back in the times of Jacob. You know, when you take a look at the Mosaical time and you consider of all the things of which they gave, and I think last Lord's Day morning in our worship hour, James mentioned this of the amount and the estimated amount that they would give. You know, for example, when we look in Deuteronomy 12, verse 17 and 18, the corn, the wine, the oil, the firstlings, the vows, the production and the profit that came off that, they would give of that, increases or raises, if you will, when you and I consider Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 and 23, We also will consider free will giving for assistance. That's Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. How they would leave corners of the fields for gleaning, if you will, Leviticus 19, 9 and 10. To go back and consider the tithe of the land, the seed of the fruit, again, we see production and profit. When you take a look at all these together, dear friends, the tithing or the tenth in these areas, once you were to add them up, would wind up considerably more. Could be anywhere from 11 to 23%. Some scholars have thought maybe 25 to 30% when you add it up. Now, folks, when we talk about the tenth or the tithe, consider this with me. You know, in some research from nonprofitsource.com, they did some research about online giving or church giving. This is interesting. 77% of those who tithed would actually give 11 to 20% or more of their income far past the baseline of 10%. 7 out of 10 tithers, if you will, do so based on their gross and not their net income. Now consider all of the things we've just listed back in the Old Testament, the tithe of the land, the corn, the wine, the increases, free will giving to assist, the corners of the field for gleaning, all this when you consider, and you put all this together, folks, this was, as we note, from the gross, and if you will, not the net. They were commanded of the best to give therein. Now, dear friends, the tithe was commanded of the Lord and was explained why it was needed. Now, let me challenge us with a question here. Would a new Christian on the day of Pentecost, one added to the Lord's church, would he think that he could now give less under a new covenant? Not hardly. I'd like to take us back to Abraham and King Melchizedek, if you will, from Hebrews 7. Time will not permit us to go in depth with this chapter, but some quick highlights. Abraham's response to Melchizedek was a simple tenth in verses 2 and 4. We note that that continued under the law, according to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 5, as well as verses 6, 8, and 9. When you look at verses 5 through 9, it continued under the law. Saying in this study of Hebrews chapter 7, what is within the context that we are to be provided a better hope? Now keep in mind, a better hope. Here's what was done with Abraham, Melchizedek, and all the giving, but we have a better hope. Hebrews 7, 18 and 19. How about the word better? Well, more excellent ministry, better covenant, better promises, Hebrews 8 and verse 6. Going into Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14, a greater and more perfect hope and opportunity. Dear friends, when I look at what God has given us under this covenant, this dispensation, please think about the following. Being under a better covenant, with better promises, we are blessed greater and should be greater givers and stewards of what God has given us. What we have prospered, now we learn how to purpose cheerfully as we understand the beauty of stewardship. We're under a better covenant with better promises, more excellent ministry, greater and more perfect. I challenge us, beloved, we should be better givers than they were under a law that was nailed to the cross and we're under something better. Someone then takes a look at their lives as stewards, what we have. Again, it's not what we don't have, but what we do with what we have, and we ask the question, okay, how much should I give? One thing for certain, dear friends, under a better covenant, it should not be less than what the Jew was even required or even what those heathen nations desired for their gods. From all of our study and reading, dear friends, one-tenth was the minimum. How much should I give? The late Brother Ira Rice, in his book, Pressing Toward the Mark, Volume 1, page 262, tells a beautiful story of when he and Sister Rice married. And on the first Sunday, they were attending worship together as husband and wife. And Brother Rice tells the following. On our way to church services that Lord's Day morning, I pulled over to the curb, saying she and I needed to agree on how much we should give. She asked what I thought. Referring to Matthew 5:20, I said, Jesus taught that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Reasoning that concerning giving, the scribes and Pharisees' righteousness began at 10%, it seemed to me that our giving should start with at least 12% of our income, increasing that when possible, but never falling below that amount. Brother Rice goes on to say, admittedly, 12% was an arbitrary figure. I suggested it only because it exceeded 10%. Veda agreed, so from that day to this, we may often have given more, some weeks even 100%, but never less than 12%. We know it can be done, for we have honored this commitment every week, without fail, for over half a century. Dear friends, we've got to start somewhere. And we do know this. If we find within the Lord's church a 2.5 to 4.5% average of giving, and we're under a better covenant with better promises, even if we were to move that up to even the minimum of a 10%, or even as Brother Rice, a 12%, we're taking what we have. We're doing more with what we have. And we're growing as stewards, and we're making those changes that are needful to give in grace, to purpose in our hearts, to look at how we've been prospered, and allow God to make the difference. Dear friends, when we talk about laying by in store and purposing in our heart and all, and as I mentioned moments ago, you have to back up and you have to look at it with the prosper, then the purpose, and then the pencil. Let's lay by in store with purpose. Let's try this. The median household gross income from Madison County, Alabama, where the majority of you live, some may live outside county or whatever, but still general, that the median household gross income is $65,449. Now I realize there are some of you sitting there thinking, I don't make near that. But on the other hand, would it be safe to say that there are those who make more than that? Again, I have to reach for a figure of accuracy. I got this from data.census.gov to look at certain areas. So this is right here at home. But let's take that amount of $65,449. That would bring a weekly income divided by 52 weeks a year of $1,258.64. Now, the Jew, under the Old Covenant, 10% of that, he would give $125.86. Under a better covenant with better promises, I just want to reach for Brother Rice's arbitrary figure of 12%, and that would be $151.04. Now, when you sit down and you take a look at that, folks, if we make that kind of money and we turn around and we just write a check and just pick 50 bucks out of the blue to write a check, are we really being the stewards that God would have us to be? Are we really sitting down with our prospering and our purposed hearts and the pencil to sit down and say, what am I doing? Am I the steward God would have us to be? West Huntsville, let's dream a little bit. One of the things that I ask before I come and do this survey is how many households comprise of the congregation? Now, a household is defined as a family of four, a couple as an empty nest that's retired, maybe an individual that lives by himself or herself retired, or someone who's starting their career and they've got their own place. I'm counting a household represents whether it's a single person, empty nest, family of four, family of six. And here at West Huntsville, across the board, 225 households. If 225 households gave the $125.86 a week, the 10%, your weekly contribution would be $28,318.50. Your giving is outstanding here. As I understand, the budget is being met, but let me ask you, is that not an overall increase weekly? Now imagine that increase times 52 weeks a year of the difference you could do. Let's take Brother Rice's 12%, and let's say with the 151.04 times 225 families, there's $33,984. Would that more than exceed the planned budget that the elders have brought forth? I dare say it would. Imagine that now on a weekly basis in giving. Imagine how you can grow and look at the works that you will be able to do. West Huntsville, you've done a marvelous job here at this location. I recall when Glenn told me many years ago of the relocation and the property. This is a prime spot, and it's growing around you. And that shows great vision. Imagine continuing to grow with the grace of giving and stewardship. How much more is able to be done? You may pause and look at this and say, Brother Archie, are you sure can this be done? Without exception. Without exception. The application that we put together is to not only apply, but to address our giving with what we make, to sit down and really put the calculator to it, the pencil to it, to purpose it, to even if we go to the minimum of a 10%, to prove the Lord who is the greatest giver. Someone says, well, He's the greatest giver, it's all His. Absolutely. We are receivers of blessings more than ever before. We've been blessed so great in this nation. And dear friends, look at what we have, not what we don't have. It's quite possible that our percentage of laid by in store is simply not acceptable. And if it's under the minimum of a 10%, well, quite frankly, dear friends, it's not. Someone may say, well, I can't afford it. But God says, prove me. You can't afford not to. To think about those wonderful words over in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Yes, dear friends, we can prove God and believe what He says. Dear friends, what I have shared with you in this series, I believe it, I've lived it, I've researched it, and I've read it. And again, I've lived it, and so can you. Congregations have seen amazing difference. Just right up the road in Fayetteville, Tennessee, an $1,100 weekly increase. Amazed at what can be done when we study this series. In a day back last year, 2020, with COVID-19, the congregation in Arnold, Missouri said, we have seen tremendous growth in our giving and exceeding with our studies of stewardship and giving. One congregation, in pursuing this, increased their mission effort within 4 years 10 times more than they had done, even expanded their facilities. One congregation, within 1 month, saw an increase of giving of 25%. These are actual, living, breathing brethren just like you. And West Huntsville, to use the phrase, you're not far from the kingdom. Your giving, your response, your facilities, your growth in this area reflects so much. We graciously, in light of God's word, challenge you. Can you be a better steward and give of what God has blessed you with and what He's granted unto you? And we bring that forth graciously. The elders did not ask me to come, nor did Paul, because there's a problem within giving, but to help us grow in this grace. And may you grow in it, beloved. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in Genesis 1 and verse 1? I know that you do. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you believe in Matthew 1, verse 21? To where our Lord, being born into this earth, Emmanuel, God with us, that He came into this earth born of a virgin? How about Psalm 23, verse 1? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, we all affirm 100%. We believe it. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. How about Mark 16:16, where he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. These are verses that we accept and believe because they're in the Bible, and we believe and embrace all of God's word. Dear friends, if we can believe this with the assurance God can grant, we can believe Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give in your bosom. For what, with what measure you meet or use, withal it shall be measured to you again. What we have studied, we have the assurance and the authority that the Lord said it. Speaking as one having authority, Matthew 7:29. And as we've studied together, we want to grow in that grace and in knowledge. Because you see, when God brings it forth, God cannot lie. Titus 1 and verse 2. And from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11, we indeed will be blessed because of being the stewards God would have us to be. What a joy that we could study together. And I once again, as we come to the conclusion and the thought of this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So, dear friends, may we ask this question. Do you need to give yourself to the Lord first? 2 Corinthians 8:5 acknowledged they gave themselves first unto the Lord. And as we've studied being a good steward and growing and maturing as Christians in our giving, do we need to back up and say, I need to get my heart right. I can't purpose within my heart. If my heart is not right as a Christian, dear brother, dear sister, do we need to pray with you and pray for you? If you've had yet to obey the gospel of Christ, you need to give yourself unto the Lord by responding in simple, trusting faith, repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and be buried with Him in the waters of baptism. Dear friends, do you need to be faithful to our Lord? That's the prerequisite of being a good steward, that a man be found faithful. Will you be faithful in obedience to His will, whether responding in obedience to the gospel this evening or to ask for prayers from your brothers and sisters in Christ? Whatever the case might be, dear friend, will you come?
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.